The Mirror, Grandmaster Julie Scott, SRC.
The Rosicrucian teachings state, the purpose of all life, including our lives, is to serve as a mirror in which the divine untiringly contemplates its own reflection. Through us and all other life, it observes and experiences itself. The Rosicrucian lessons explain that actuality is the underlying vibratory essence of all things. It exists beyond perception, in the invisible structure of the universe. Its source is pure beingness. Reality is how we perceive the world through our senses. It is personal, filtered, and shaped by biology and beliefs. This understanding of the Rosicrucian view of actuality and reality reveals not only the nature of the universe, but also the role of our consciousness within it. Typically, we describe three dimensions of space: height, depth, and width. Past Imperator H. Spencer Lewis described a fourth dimension. He said that in addition to height, depth, and width, there is the vibrational actuality underlying physical form. Ancient Egyptians spoke of the realm of the Duat, the field of pure potential, where all that exists began its journey into form. This is actuality. We are beings of energy swimming in an ocean of energy, or consciousness. Our lives and everything in the universe are like waves in that ocean. The waves rise and fall, creating lifetimes, but they are never separate from the ocean itself. Modern science echoes this mystical insight. Quantum physicist John Hagelin describes a unified field, a self-aware, intelligent field from which all laws of nature emerge. He says, quote, "This unified field is a self-interacting field of intelligent consciousness, the self-sufficient source of all existing things." End quote. Deepak Chopra describes thinking non-stuff, energy and information, infinite in potential. This aligns with the Rosicrucian view that the cosmic is an intelligent, creative field, and the mind is a receiver, not a generator, of spiritual impressions. Our lessons offer that through attunement, we can transcend illusion and perceive the vibratory truth of the universe. Cognitive scientist Donald Hoffman states that what we see is not what's real. Instead, our perception is like a computer interface, similar to a video game headset. Useful, but not the truth. His theory of positive geometries suggests that fundamental reality consists of, quote, complex, high-dimensional, mathematical structures that exist outside of space-time, which then emerge into space-time through the space-time headset of conscious agents. Us, we're the conscious agents. His concept of positive geometries aligns with ancient teachings about the vibrational and possibly geometrical or mathematical nature of creation. We'll talk about Pythagoras' view on this later. Years ago, while standing in a redwood forest, I placed my forehead on one of the trees. In that moment, I received a flow of symbols that were something like hieroglyphs and something like Hebrew letters, but they weren't either, revolving like a slot machine before my mind's eye. It was stunning, and I felt like something had been downloaded to me, although I still don't know what. And it felt like the tree briefly wiped away the fog on the screen of my perception, perhaps allowing me a glimpse of actuality. The Rosicrucian teachings state that all matter is vibration, a combination of positive and negative forces emanating from the ether. What we see, hear, and touch is just a projection of deeper forces. Plato described this as the world of ideas. Plato wrote, quote, "The entire universe and everything in it is but the finite projection of an idea set forth by the divine itself." End quote. In his Allegory of the Cave in Republic, Plato described reality as shadows on a wall that are distorted versions of higher truths. What lies in the light of the sun is actuality. Plato described what he called forms, eternal, perfect, and unchanging ideals or archetypes that represent the true essence of things. They include abstract ideals such as beauty and justice as true, unchanging forms that exist in a separate realm. Pythagoras saw numbers as something similar, as non-physical and eternal realities that provide the fundamental essence of the world. Pythagoras believed numbers were the ultimate actuality that literally constructed the universe. His sacred Tetractus was the formula for creation. 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 equals 10. 1 is the point. 2 creates a line. 3 creates a plane. And 4 creates a cube, which makes the space for the elements, earth, air, water, and fire. Could actuality be unfolding mathematical formulas or patterns? Could that be what those revolving symbols the redwood tree shared with me were? So, how do we move beyond illusion toward actuality? The Rosicrucian lessons provide many techniques. We can meditate to still the mind to receive impressions from the soul. We can use visualization to form spiritual counterparts for mental creation. And we can cultivate intuition, the inner voice of wisdom. The Rosicrucian lessons encourage us not to deny the material world. We work to transcend it by aligning with higher vibrations. The Rosicrucian teachings tell us that when we attune with actuality, we become more aware, more compassionate, and more aligned with our purpose. Why does this matter? In a world focused on appearances, we risk losing sight of our deeper nature. If our senses are illusions, we must learn to see inwardly. If matter is not the source of life, we must turn to consciousness. If we are more than bodies, then our lives are sacred journeys of unfoldment. Understanding actuality can free us from the fear of loss or death, connects us to others through unity, and grounds us in the eternal. In the Rosicrucian Egyptian Museum, there is a hand mirror with the ancient Egyptian goddess Hathor on the handle. She is the goddess of love, beauty, dance, joy, and music. Many ancient Egyptian mirrors are shaped like an ankh, a cross with a loop at the top, the Egyptian symbol of eternal life. Hathor's face is just below the reflective part. The word ankh also means mirror in the ancient Egyptian language. Some scholars suggest that this was a pun or a play on words, an ankh-ankh. But I believe it was something more sacred. The ancient Egyptians didn't typically joke about eternal life. To me, this Ankh-Ankh expresses that we are not mere observers. We are the medium through which the divine contemplates and experiences itself. Hathor, the divinity, is looking at us, looking at her, looking at us, and so on. We are waves of actuality expressing different aspects of the original vibration. Let's practice a meditation. Please sit comfortably and close your eyes. Take three deep breaths, becoming more relaxed with each exhalation. Now, breathe normally and focus on your breath. If your mind wanders, gently say to yourself, "thinking," and return to your breath. Now, attune with that aspect of yourself, that level of your vibratory energy that can connect with higher planes of awareness. With your thoughts, activate that part of you that has this ability. Now bring your awareness to the space between your thoughts, the pause between each breath. This space is the field of actuality. Attune with that. Use the part of you that is able to attune with this field and do that. Visualize a shimmering field all around and within you. It permeates you, and you are swimming in it. It is immeasurably large, beyond time and space, and intimately close. You are not separate from it. You are of it and in it. Now, quietly affirm, "I align with actuality. I am enfolded in actuality. I am actuality. Now go further. I am. After a few minutes, when you are ready, open your eyes. We live in a world of appearances, yet beneath it all is the field of actuality, where the divine source extends itself to experience itself. That is our mission in life. We are expressions of the divine and mirrors through which the divine experiences itself. And in the stillness of meditation, and in the clarity of intuition, we remember who and what we are. We are not just waves. We are the ocean experiencing different patterns of itself.